Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher Podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where your dreams can find a voice. The chakras are part of a belief system from ancient India that refer to energy centers in the body. If you're feeling a little off, chances are that one or more of your chakras are blocked and you need to balance them. Let's take a closer look at chakras and how they work with my guest, Shai Tabali. Shai is an internationally renowned author, speaker, and innovator in the field of personal development. Shai's approach weaves together a tapestry of thoughts and tradition from psychology, philosophy, medicine, yogic traditions, Eastern thought, and practices the most advanced scientific research. His vision is made manifest in the Human Greatness Center located in Berlin, Germany, where all aspects of his system are made available to anyone who wishes to partake. In this interview, Shai is going to offer insight into how chakras work, what we can do to make sure that they function at their best, and what to do if they get blocked. He also talks about the 7 different chakra personality types and how it impacts us. If you like what you heard, please don't forget to like, rate, share, and subscribe to this podcast. Thank you. Hello, Shai. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you on the show. You're all the way out there in Germany, right?
Yes, situated in Berlin. Yes.
In Berlin. Nice. And I'm out here in LA. So this is the wonders of technology that allows us to have this conversation.
Yes, thank God for technology. Yes.
I know. Well, I am so happy to be able to connect with you today. And I've had a chance to browse through your vlogs and I can see that you're very prolific. You have a wealth of knowledge on so many aspects of spirituality, not just chakras, which we're going to be discussing today. So I just want to acknowledge that and let everyone know that.
Thank you. Sometimes I am suspecting that I'm over prolific.
No, it's good. As I said, we're going to be talking about chakras today. So I'm just really looking forward to our discussion because I'm sure that a lot of people are curious about it and how that system works because it is so powerful. So thank you for being willing to share your knowledge with us on this topic.
Joyfully.
Okay, so Shai, I always like to start my interviews by getting a sense of my guest's background and how it influenced what they do today. So why don't you tell us what led you down this path of mysticism, spirituality, and philosophy? What was the early inspiration behind your choice?
Well, first of all, we need to distinguish mysticism from philosophy because these have been for me two separate paths. First, philosophy. I had tried to study philosophy in my early 20s, and when I did try, I realized that philosophy, at least academic philosophy, did not have or was not able to answer the burning existential hunger that I had inside me, that I had inside my heart. Therefore, I embarked on the spiritual journey, responding to the statements and to the words of the great mystics, especially the mystics of India. And so basically, I would say that this was simply a sort of choiceless heart calling. I just couldn't resist it. There was something about this talk about unity beyond the personal self, beyond separation, beyond the individuality that simply I couldn't resist. So of course there was the combination of some psychological suffering. I remember myself very well feeling fear, social fear, and thinking to myself, this can't be right. You see, I'm among my best friends and still I feel so much social fear. Something is wrong with the way I understand life. So there was that as a drive, but beyond that, there was a higher calling.
And you grew up in Israel, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And
back then I was a journalist.
Oh,
and an
okay.
author. And an author. I'm sorry?
I'm a journalist too.
Yes, I'm aware of. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. So I was a journalist writing for main newspapers and a radio station, and I wrote prose and published short stories, but that wasn't enough. There was something beyond all that.
Okay. And you felt this in your early 20s, is that correct?
Yes, yes, yes. So already at the age of 21, I started the journey that culminated in some kind of a shift to some sort of cosmic consciousness and expansion of the self at the age of 23. And that completely changed everything for me.
Oh, that's great. And when you talk about cosmic consciousness, describe what that is exactly.
Well, at that time, when I was 23, it was simply the realization that what I recognized as my personal, special, private self was actually a non-local or universal sense of being that encompassed all and everything. So I basically found myself in the trees. I found myself in the rocks, in the sea, in the clouds, in every face that I met. So that was an exhilarating a realization that was then accompanied by overwhelming universal love, bliss, and a sort of intense inner cleansing.
That sounds beautiful. That sounds like a really, you know, wonderful mystical experience.
Yes, yes, yes.
Great.
That's the love of my life.
Great. Thank you for sharing that, Shai. So tell us, Shai, what exactly are chakras and why do you think it's important to know about them?
Well, historically, in one sentence, chakras are an ancient system. It's at least 2,500 years old, and it's a system that has been developed later on by tantric practitioners and then New Age seers. And what makes it so important, and I think that's why chakras never cease to excite people, and many writers still they keep illuminating this subject, is that chakras are the one system in our being that resides exactly in between the spiritual and the material, or between the physical and the subtle. You see, this makes it the most accessible system in a way that we don't need to have some kind of fantastic visions in order to perceive something completely otherworldly. We don't need to imagine anything. We have them inside our body. They are as physical as they are spiritual. You see? So this makes chakras my own daily experience, but actually, in reality, everyone's daily experience. Everyone experiences a broken heart. Mm-hmm. Everyone experiences a lump in the throat. Everyone experiences butterflies in the stomach. And everyone experiences shaky legs when there is fear or anxiety. So, mm-hmm. so we all have the experience of the expression of chakras. This makes it something that is undeniable. We can communicate with it directly. And actually, there is one thing that I always recommend people to do, to try. And this is what I call becoming a chakra whisperer. Whisperer, which is actually very easy to do.
Okay.
If you simply think for a few minutes, let's say for 5 minutes, about your current emotional challenge, or about a certain challenge in your life, just think about it or write about it. After 5 minutes, close your eyes and try to feel what area in the body has been triggered the most.
Mm.
That area in the body is actually the relevant chakra. And this actually is a great way to begin to understand what the source of our challenge is.
So for someone who's having constant migraines, a possible chakra would be the one situated in their mind?
Yes, but that's sometimes too obvious. This is the thing. We sometimes think that we analyze it intellectually, but actually when we begin to listen, we might find out that it originates in our solar plexus,
mm.
which is some kind of social pressure or inability to live up to certain demands of authorities, society. Sometimes it's in the root chakra. We feel it. We discover that it originates at the base of our being because of certain anxieties or worries. So this is how chakras are actually the ideal map that helps us to navigate our emotional, psychological, and also spiritual journey. Because you see, humans are extremely complex phenomena.
Oh.
Chakras help us to divide these phenomena in the case of the seven chakra system, into seven compartments or seven different layers, seven aspects that each requires our attention.
Okay, and how is it connected to our personal power? I know some words that people have used to describe our personal power is like chi and prana. Is that something that chakras regulate?
Among others, yes. If to give a very brief description of our subtle body, our gorgeous subtle body, we have the subtle body consists of many thousands of subtle columns or hollow tubes that are called nadis. Nadis can also be veins, for instance, in the physical body.
Mm.
But these hollow tubes, they conduct prana. You see?
Yeah.
So we have these many thousands of them, and then we have one central that begins at the base of our spine and reaches and culminates in the crown chakra here. So within this central channel, there are these seven centers that are deeply, let's say, engraved inside this channel. This channel is a little closer to our spine, to our physical spine,
mm-hmm.
Closer to the front of the spine. So therefore, the relocation of the chakras is actually deep within the body, not here or here,
uh-huh.
and so on, but deeper inside the body. So chakras, in this sense, they are like, you can say they are junctions or confluences of prana.
Confluences of prana. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure that definitely helps. That makes it more tangible. Okay. And I came across your quiz on the seven different chakra personality types. And I found that so interesting. Can you give us a brief overview of the seven types?
Yes. Yes. Well, first of all, the seven types is more or less a system that I've developed myself. It doesn't exist in the scriptures, except for perhaps certain hints. So it was simply my intuition that the chakras have actually also an individual aspect, because usually we treat chakras as a ladder of development that each of the steps requires
evolution, treatment. A certain level of evolution.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is a universal process of development. It concerns us all, and that is correct, of course. But then slowly I came to realize that people also, people's personality and also a journey of the soul are governed by some major chakra that determines and gives shape to their main perspective, to their inclinations, passions, the way they understand the world, the values that they cherish the most, the meaning of their life, then the purpose of their life, and so on. And then there are also two secondary chakras that are very crucial in the development of our personality. Now, this system is important because, first of all, it enables us to understand ourselves. It helps us to know why we have certain inclinations, why we have certain excessive behavior. Not all of that is something wrong that needs to be fixed, actually.
Can you give us an example of that?
Of course. Yes. For instance, you see, each chakra personality type is usually told from the beginning of their life. You should be more like this, or you should stop being like this. For instance, I belong to the third eye chakra personality type.
That sounds good.
And this chakra type tends to be quite isolated. Like they like to sit in a room, and they
like
can sit in one room. Sorry,
like a hermit, like
exactly. They're developing thoughts, and they are pretty content remaining with themselves. And then they are told from the very beginning, start living, start being a part of life. Or heart chakra type, they are told, stop being so clingy and yes, exactly. Start becoming independent and don't engage yourself too much in relationships and be so hypersensitive. So that's, this makes the chakra type system a system that enables us, above all, to attain authentic self-acceptance, but also compassion toward others around us, because we ourselves commit the same sin by looking at others and thinking they should be more like us. You see?
Yeah, I mean, would you say that people of higher chakras are more superior to the one of lower chakras?
No, not at all. Not
okay.
at all.
Ryan, you're like the first. You know, I deal with higher matters.
Actually, each chakra type has their own pride and arrogance, and look down on the other chakra types. You see, the root chakra type, who are extremely grounded and down to earth and sensitive to details.
Yeah,
they look
more
down.
Matters, right? They're more practical, I'd imagine, like the root chakra people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that they believe in diligence, in persistence, in patience, and then they notice all the other chakra types. For instance, the chakra, sacral chakra, personality type, the second chakra. They are like butterflies. You see, they hover over life. They never commit. They're never responsible. They are like children forever. And they have this kind of bubbling joy. So then the root chakra type, they consider them to be not serious enough, they don't understand what life is all about. But the sacral chakra type, they teach us something amazing about living in the moment, cherishing nature, being able to develop sensitivity to beauty. So this is why it is a system of compassion and self and collective understanding.
Yeah, I think this will be such a great tool for people to gain more self-awareness and, as you said, gain compassion towards those who have different chakra personality types. Where can they take the quiz? Where can they take the quiz?
Yes. It's on my website. It's called the 7wisdoms.org.
Okay, I will list that. I will list that in the description. The 7.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great, because everyone's like, "Oh, I want to find out what my chakra personality type is," because it sounds really interesting. Okay. So I know you briefly mentioned that, having some physical symptoms are a sign that your chakras might be out of balance. So if that is the situation, what are some steps that we can take to regain our balance and to balance our chakras?
Well, there are different possibilities, and they, of course, they are the most immediate steps, and there are the more lasting changes that we should make. Because first of all, it's really important to understand that chakras are, when we talk about chakras, chakra imbalance. Because chakras are in between all the worlds, all the different layers of our being, this means that there is no type of imbalance that is not related to an expression of chakra imbalance and the other way around. So therefore, there are emotional imbalances we find it in excessive thoughts. We find it in our worries, we find it in our psychosomatic disorders, and so on and so on. So the most immediate thing we can do is this is the advice that I give, is that we can visualize the chakra. If we visualize that we have a central column that pierces through the center of our body, then we need to visualize that the specific chakra if opening up like a flower toward the world, you see? Because when the chakra is in a state of imbalance, it collapses, its energy collapses inwards. Mm-hmm. While chakras are in a state of balance, they are like perfectly open flowers. So visualizing even that, how the chakra comes out of its hiding place, opening up like a flower, this is already an emergency treatment, you can say.
Yeah.
then there are more serious approaches. First of all, we need to educate ourselves about the specific themes of each chakra and the specific practices that are related to this chakra or techniques.
Okay.
Then when we educate ourselves, we also know how to take some action in life.
Yes.
That responds to that chakra challenge. It's not always an internal solution.
Right. I mean, I remember once there was this phase where I was having problems with my throat And I know that throat chakra has something to do with self-expression, right?
Among others, definitely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, our ability to expose our inner world and to make it visible. Yes.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. So by knowing that, I could kind of do certain things to treat that blockage. What would be some of the things that I could do, I could have done if I knew?
Well, it depends how deep it goes, because
I mean, I had laryngitis for a while, so yeah, it was pretty intense.
Yes, so again, the spectrum of activity is tremendous. You see, so there could be, for instance, an internal work like a form of therapy. Then there could be actions like associative writing, because this helps us to clear out everything that is stuck without control. Associative writing is writing simply without yeah. control, without punctuation, just letting it come out. Then there are all kinds of vocal meditations, sound therapy. That helps us to clear out all kinds of blockages.
Okay.
And then there are actions in the world, because sometimes we need to simply dare to express ourselves and to take the risk of being offended or criticized. This is also a part of the throat chakra challenge. You see, to actually practice this in real life. And otherwise, it always remains as a sort of an internal process. And that, in the case of the throat chakra, is self-defeating.
Mm.
You see?
Very interesting. So similarly, for the other chakras, there are certain things that you can do to kind of boost its power and to really address the deeper issues that are causing those symptoms, right?
Exactly. I've just published a book 2 weeks ago.
That has
appeared in the US right now. And it's called 7 Day Chakras.
Okay.
7 Day Chakras. And it's all about dividing the week, the 7 days week, into 7 days of chakras, you see. So each day is dedicated to a specific chakra.
Oh.
In a consecutive order, and therefore it includes a tremendous amount of practices from the most internal and the most immediate to activities and actions in life. So there is plenty that we can do.
Right. And what are your thoughts on those chakra jewelry? I mean, I'm a big fan of those, but do those work?
Well, it's questionable. I think it's always nice to wear, but
I mean, they're so pretty with all the 7 colors, and they just look nice.
Yes, so I think sometimes stones can help us redirect our energy. That there is no doubt. We should never neglect to understand that unless we respond consciously to mm-hmm. the chakra lesson, to the themes of the chakras, any change that we may experience will not be lasting. You see, we are able to accomplish an irreversible balance in a chakra only if we've responded fully to its life lesson.
Okay.
We need to think of a chakra as a sort of a master of a certain dimension of life. And yeah. we need to work with this master
yeah.
and to be guided by this master. And sometimes the challenges are very uncomfortable.
Right. So you have to do that, the inner work, and your chakras can be a guide as to where exactly you need to direct your attention.
Exactly. And it's actually so easy because it's so physical. You see, what I love about chakras is that they bypass our intellectual window display. You see, They simply bypass all our stories, and they tell us the real stories. Therefore, we need to develop a sensitive ear to these physical messages.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's a lot of people need that, because most people live in their heads, and we are taught to be more rational and to trust the mind. So to have that sort of intuitive kind of awareness would really help in our growth.
That's so accurate. Yes, our body never lies. You see,
our body never lies. Exactly.
Yes.
My last question to you, Shai, is how can we use our chakras to, I mean, I think you already sort of touched on this, but how can we use it to really accelerate our growth and just become better in every way possible? Do you recommend any practices that we can do?
Well, first of all, I would say the most important insight is that our three lower chakras are essential for the transformation of our being, for actually enabling our being to transform in a lasting way. Mm-hmm. Our three lower chakras they are responsible for our ability to stop relying on the world for the most basic emotions and feelings.
For instance,
the root chakra, when it's unbalanced, it develops a dependency on the world for the experience of stability. You see, and then what we are trying to do through our unbalanced root chakra is we try to stop life from happening. We try to stop changes from happening. This is because we are trying to make our external life it's so stable that nothing ever moves, you see? Mm-hmm. Nothing ever happens. And that's because of fear. But when we begin to develop our root chakra, we finally experience that we can feel at home within ourselves, that we have our own inner stability. So if we don't have this inner stability and inner joy in the second chakra and inner power in the solar plexus chakra, the third chakra, we will actually find it extremely difficult to transform along the way. You see? Mm-hmm. Therefore, it's the most important to start there, to start below, in order to create the foundation. It's like making sure that the roots are solid, so that we can actually spread our branches and face the sky. You see, very often we simply jump to the higher chakras, trying to develop all kinds of, I don't know, clairvoyance and exciting capacities. But if the foundation of the building of our being is fragile, sooner or later we will experience that we have returned to the very beginning of our development. And this is quite frustrating. So this is my advice.
So when you're talking about feeling rooted, it's not about your financial wellness, because there are some people who don't need a lot of money and still feel rooted. You know, they can live a very simple life. A lot of sages, they live on very little, but they meditate all day and they, you know, they really push to reach those higher level of consciousness through their daily practice. So when you're talking about feeling rooted, is it more of a sensation?
I love your comment, because in our materialistic society, we sometimes tend to interpret the root chakra as having enough money, having all our needs taken care of, and so on. But as you say, the great mystics, they show us otherwise. Why? Because they have transformed the root chakra from the need for external stability to a state of blissful internal stability, so that they don't rely on changes. Because even if we have a lot of money, this could change. This might change. Something might happen. We might even experience, unfortunately, a horrible disease, and then our entire world collapses, or divorce. Therefore, if we don't have ourselves in the deeper sense, and having ourselves in terms of chakras, it means having our three lower chakras independent from the world. If we don't have ourselves, we will always live in fear, we will always live in worry, and we will always be hungry for experiences in life that give us joy and give us contentment and so on. That's the secret of the great mystics, because they've transformed their chakras.
Yeah. I mean, classic example is Buddha, who left his palace, he left all his riches, and then he was living, in the village and just getting food from people whoever would give him food. So, you know, he was, he's a classic example who didn't need that financial security to feel rooted.
Yes, that's the bliss of authentic independence, inner independence. And that's actually the final transformation of all the seven chakras. It's the shift from dependency to independency.
Yeah. And that comes from a sense of self, that inner power.
Honestly, I don't think that until we've developed seriously our chakras to the degree of balance, to a certain degree, we don't have a self yet. You see, because we don't have this independent existence that has been developed fully from within.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the sense of self actually begins in the solar plexus chakra, because the most important feeling that we need to possess is the sense of true inner power, the feeling that our power, our sense of strength, doesn't increase when life is good to us and diminish when life is so called against us.
So you're like strong and you're steady no matter what happens in your
experience. Exactly. In the metaphorical world of the chakras, the solar plexus chakra is likened to a big yellow sun. You see that is radiating and that is a source of its own energy. Mm. And this, I think, is what it is all about. Being ourselves means being a small son.
You're all a small son. Oh,
yes.
That's great, Shai. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure talking to you and learning from you.
It's been wonderful, so beautiful to have this discussion. I'm really touched.
Yes. Shai, I know that you have a course on chakras on your website. So for those who want to learn more about it and where can they access this course?
Well, all they need is to either enter the sevenwisdoms.org website or my own personal website, that is shaitubali.com. Yes.
Okay, great. So I will make sure I add those links in the description. Shai, is there anything else you'd like to add before we end the session?
No.
Okay, great. All right. You have a lovely evening out there in Berlin, Germany.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for this meeting.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.